Welcome to Rollfair, a D&D podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, we will introduce ourselves. I am Devin, the Dungeon Master.
I'm Ryan, playing Seth, the Tiefling Cleric.
What? Oh, yeah, for destroying the altar?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sort of a cleric.
Multi-classing.
I'm Brad, playing Arden, the Wizard.
I'm Kayla, playing Kaiji, the Tabaxi Pirate.
I'm Austin, playing the Cheru, the Twirtle.
The Cheru.
One and only.
I am Ben, playing the King Rainer.
I'm Sarah, I'm playing Asal, the Fire Genasi Sorcerer.
And I'm Will. And I might be playing someone new.
All right. Woo. Sounds good. So, last time, the party did some tomfoolery inside of the keep, and Asar and Rainer, being the responsible ones they are, decided to start organizing the city and the various tasks that need to be done. So first, we're going to jump back to Arden for some things he wanted to do.
So I need to find somebody to give me a room.
So you go around, and there's lots of busy work going on. You see various members of the coven that are led by Zindula. You approach someone who's asking for the room, and she responds,
Yes, just up the stairs to the right. There will be chambers for you. Just much to do. Sorry, must get going.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Go up and... Are they big rooms, or are they just...
They're, like, for the common person, they would be fairly large.
Okay. Well, I can make this 100 feet on each side, but I'm going to cast Private Sanctum. And basically, no sound. Nobody can see in it. Sensors created by divination can't appear inside. They can't be targeted by divination spells. Nothing can teleport into or out of it. Except for, you know, anything affecting their getting out of the mirror. I'm going to not make a
Sounds
word
good.
For. Anyway, and then I'm going to leave them a note. And I'm going to leave the mirror just like in the middle. And yeah. Just leave them a note saying, hey, this barrier's for you. And no sound escapes. And it lasts like for 24 hours from... And I tell them about what time... I started it, and it's like, you know, take all the time you need.
Sounds good.
It's for you, so.
All right. So you guys eventually pop out approximately 8 hours later, and you find all these details.
So upon finding a piece of paper in the room...
you're in a different room.
Totally different room.
Or all the bones just disappear.
There's a bed.
Maybe the sanctifying thing. No. No, all the benches are gone. Well, this is a different room. Oh, Seth, I found a paper with the chicken scratch on it. What's it?
I interrupted that for you.
I don't know.
What language did you write it in?
Probably T'Challi.
Just comment.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't do like...
Seth can read it. It takes a minute, but he can
read it. I didn't know you could read.
I forgot all about that. Oh, man. I should have made, like, some magic mark or something that would, like...
That's hilarious. Like a little hologram.
That would just
Hello!
Say, yeah.
Welcome to your room.
Yes. Oh, I should have done that.
Oh, well. So Seth will relay to Mossy what it is. It's like, oh. How thoughtful of him.
I think I'm be sweet sometimes. How much longer do we have? Like six hours?
Yeah, more than that.
Or no, like no, it would have been six 16-ish. Hours. So like 18.
We spent 8 hours, so we've got 16 still. If we want to sit in the private sanctum.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you can leave and come back. It's still there. It's still gonna be there. Like you can get food. You can do whatever.
Should we go see if we can help? With the throne room, turn it into an altar to Gilgamesh or something?
Yes.
Yes! That sounds like a wonderful idea. I mean, Gilgamesh is the best god I know of.
His altar should be in the kitchen.
The altar is the griddle. Yes. Oh, Gilgamesh got a pancakes.
Roast the pancakes.
Bless this breakfast nook.
May it nourish and strengthen us.
May it be filling and hearty.
Bless the grub. No, wait.
All right, so you go about moving around the castle, seeing things repaired and
so
prepared.
You said, like, the coven members are just cleaning up around
there's all sorts of people in here at this point. Asar, using her insane skills, has made sure that the delegation is moving very smoothly.
All the tapestries are fixed. All the... Everything's...
It's more... So I would say less cleaning at this point and more gathering information... trying to find details, shoring up things that need to be shored up, you know, the most important things first. So, and Shrew continues about his Halloween of the castle, and the next day comes.
Wait, I'm gonna just...
Okay.
So the sun sets, right, and, The castle's still sort of really busy with late night prep work. And Asar and Raynard, they've been going every single which direction, delegating, giving orders, whatever. And as it's nearing midnight, Asar comes up to Raynard and says, "Follow me." And she grabs his hand and she just quietly starts to, like, take him through the castle, up the stairs, until they're up on the roof part of the castle. And there laid out is a little picnic.
Aww.
with like, you know, a little dancing light flame, you know. So she sits him down, and it's overlooking the vista of Latigo. And she leans over and whispers into his ear, "Look, your people are free."
Everywhere the light touches.
But it's dark.
Throws a grain. You're not here to rule.
I need to hollow this place through.
You just see Shrew coming up right in the middle of this.
Exactly. Why are you always around?
That would be so funny.
Just
take a minute.
Oh, if only Arden had sanctuaried this spot.
I am about to throw you off the cliff. Get out of here.
Raynor just looks at Shiru.
Dominate.
With that look, I was just like...
He just, I can see Shiru just like seeing this moment and just like speeding through his rituals. Oh, that was good.
Guys, I think we broke the party.
Anyway, now that we have some peace and quiet, I wait like 5 seconds after that.
Thunk.
From the distance. Your forehead's just...
I just lean back into a saw and put my arm around her and just whisper, just thank you for everything. And give her a little kiss on the cheek.
Raynan, I know that you have more responsibilities now and there are things that might be expected of you, but I just wanted to take this moment to say I don't want to be parted from you, and if you would have me, I would be by your side for the rest of your life.
Use that charisma, Raynor. Use that charisma.
Don't screw this up.
Roll a charisma check.
DC 2.
Charisma 2.
You see, he kind of like struggles where his mind's, you know, the gears are trying to turn, and then like they get caught a couple times, and finally he just leans in to you tightly and says, "Then let us not be parted." And he just basically fade to black.
Before fade to black, anything you were going to do in return?
Nope. I'm fading to black.
Fading to black. Right. Just want to make sure. All right. Cute. And with that, the next morning comes. Kaiji and Alt Seth, whatever your name is, I don't remember this anymore.
Ruga.
Ruga. You guys wake in your sanctuary. You two wake on the...
No, we wake up in my father's bedroom. in the large bed kind of thing. It's got like one of those things. In the king's room.
Yeah.
In my room.
The king's bed.
It seems like that. It's weird.
No, I'm just saying. The king's bed. It's got like those drapery things, but they're currently pulled down.
I remember when my mom and dad were in here.
I remember the night I was conceived.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think...
No, none of that.
Nope. You guys wake. Shrew, you are still about your duties, growing very tired. Arden is doing whatever he's doing.
Probably just wandering around.
Is Shrew still working on that?
Takes 24 hours.
Seth's way to help with that is to continue to just destroy the bone room.
And my
finishing up with the Kugenta Boyd thing, and but also like leaving symbols of Gilgamesh and Azrakeen.
What is a symbol of Gilgamesh?
I have no. A pancake, I guess?
It's probably a pancake on
a
skeleton.
With the butter on top.
Yeah, a plate of pancakes with the butter and the syrup going on.
Yes,
exactly. Trying to turn it into.
But having been made with a Kugenta Blade, we have now made Gilgamesh a fiend of pancakes.
They're devilishly good.
Yes.
You guys need to open an inn now.
That's amazing.
Maybe one of those
They're devilish.
What do they call it?
Gilgamesh's Kugenta platter.
Yeah.
My gosh.
My way of helping Seth help Shrew.
Shrine of Gilgamesh, bed and breakfast.
My way of helping Seth help Shrew is I'm like sitting up against the wall, just like flicking a die and telling stories of the Sandstorm's Revenge about the first time I beheaded a guy, and then the first time that we took over that one ship, and then that other time that we did a land rescue. And then that other time, just for hours.
I carve a little pirate ship into the side of the altar, too.
All of this is going to get totally repaired later.
Great time to do graffiti.
Exactly.
Anything that you two are accomplishing when you rise?
I imagine that we need to kind of get up and get ready because, you know, royalty can't sleep in too much. We've got stuff to do, so you know we basically cuddle for like 15 minutes, and then like 15 minutes longer. There's another knock on the door. You need to get up now. Give us another 15 minutes.
I'm king. Go away.
Like 15 minutes. Like, really? Like.
The king's version.
You need
of the
to be
line.
Getting ready for the for the thing for the memorial now. It's like,
excuse me, my lord. So Kovai comes eventually. He's like, Your Highness, it's time to get up.
Okay, I guess it's actually time to get up now. So yeah, I get up and you know I start grabbing like my tunic from here and my pants from there, and like armor pieces from like scattered around the room and just.
Love, those are fantastic, but is there any sort of ceremonial dress that you have here in the castle?
Oh, I never...
I don't know if they would still have anything Litigo branded.
Well, I mean, there is a substantially large closet here. I might as well just look through it.
I wouldn't say there's anything that's Litigo branded, but
Just
some nice clothes.
It just needs to be something kind of just, you know,
you can
official,
cast this guy self.
Like regally.
Like a senator.
Well, I mean, I can add to it, kind of thing. You know, it's just
like a senator's toga or something. Or...
No, I just, you know, I'd find something that like looks
kingly.
Yeah, just something that's just more than just what I would regularly wear.
Yeah, you're able to find something easily.
And then on top of that, I use the disguise self to basically emblazon it with the Latigo... I can't remember.
Crests,
yes.
Okay, sounds good. So you all eventually head downstairs, except for Shrew.
If we have a gather all together, I'll do the aid thing.
Okay.
So everyone has +5.
Perfect.
Nice.
And as you guys gather, you have a very small moment to discuss the night, the funeral, anything kind of moving forward.
I love how we are all very eclectic. However, we are about to do something that requires a bit of reservation.
What does eclectic mean?
I think she's talking about our clothes again.
No, I'm talking about your personality.
We need more. We need to be more polished.
You just gestured to all of me.
So what, you're going to hide us in the basement for the ceremony or what?
No.
We just need to be silent.
Just be on your best behavior. This is something, we are honoring the fallen. And I'm sure you've all done something like this before.
Not in the way Shrew does. Actually, how do you do
thump.
It? Thump.
Shrew's not there, he's still off doing his thing.
It's
very tiring.
Didn't he do something for Malika? We kind of...
Oh, yes.
We did a bit of a memorial.
Well, if Shrew shows up, tell him to, you know, act as solemn as he did about Malika.
I wouldn't say it like that. That is... Listen, when...
You guys have no trust in Shrew.
Right? No, I'm just saying...
Your charisma is showing.
I'm sure we can all... Because we are the Red Sands, which is the party of the king. So, everyone will be looking to us. Do you understand? This is going to be Rayna's first official duty. And I'd like it to go as smoothly as possible.
I'm just a princess's bodyguard.
And a member of the Red Sands?
No, I'm just in the background and quiet and unnoticed.
You mean the queen's bodyguard?
What?
What?
We'll make no noise and pretend that we don't exist.
Yes.
I know.
Just remember what we're doing.
It's true. You're right.
I know if you want to be, you can be.
Jeez.
Hey, he's hard
you
work.
You got brain damage at the end of this session.
The commitment, yeah.
No.
Caitlin's no.
Head pump.
No.
It's a soft leather-covered book.
Does Shrew hit himself over the head whenever he has an intrusive thought?
No. No, just when he's performing Halloween rituals.
Oh. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing?
This is the ritual.
Are you hitting yourself?
It's a bit from Monty Python.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for someone who worships the god of knowledge, right?
He must hit his head whenever evil spirits are being cleansed from that
exactly,
part.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
The power of knowledge protect me!
Osmosis at work.
Canon.
Osmosium.
Alright, so guys... Stalloon and Shrew head to the Temple of Muanviri. A procession begins, starting with Rayner and Kovai comes out and explains kind of what's going to happen.
Is there a certain color scheme?
Black.
Solemn. You know, just whatever would be solemn. Probably blacks, dark grays,
things like that.
Okay.
Some cultures white.
Yep, there would be white. Those in white as well.
I was going to say, if anyone follows Mombiri, they'd be in white.
They would be in white. And so, as you...
I would follow their lead.
As you head out into the courtyard of the keep, Kovai approaches you and says, my liege, we've taken the liberty of ensuring that things are arranged appropriately, and you know, it's been a long time since you've been in the city. Just follow our lead. We will ensure that this goes well. And he explains that there are various priests of Mombiri and other faiths that will help lead the procession directly in front of you, and you'll just follow them, and you'll be prompted on where to go and what to do during specific funeral rites. But as you parade through the street, people begin to gather behind this procession, and it seems almost all of Latigo has emptied out, except for the elves. The elves, you were informed, are guarding the city. And you're led to the temple, and the temple stands as a testament to both the reverence and simplicity, embodying the essence of the goddess of death's ethos. Situated atop a gentle rise, the temple overlooks the surrounding landscapes with a quiet dignity, its presence a calming beacon amidst the bustling city. The exterior of the temple is crafted from smooth, weathered stone, the natural hues of sandstone and marble blending seamlessly to create an aura of understated elegance. The architecture is graceful yet unassuming, with arched doorways and windows that invite the gentle embrace of sunlight and fresh air. At the entrance, a set of wide steps leads up to the temple's main doors, which are adorned with intricate carvings depicting scenes of passage and transition. These carvings symbolize the goddess Monbiri's role as the guide of souls, leading them from one phase of existence to the next with compassion and wisdom. The temple's roof is crowned by a simple yet majestic dome. Its curves reminiscent of a gentle embrace. A single spire rises from the center of the dome, reaching towards the heavens like a silent prayer. Surrounding the temple are carefully tended gardens, where colorful flowers bloom in harmony with fragrant herbs and aromatic incense plants. Stone benches invite visitors to pause and reflect, offering a serene sanctuary for quiet contemplation. Despite its grandeur, the Temple of Mombiri remains modest in size, designed to accommodate a decent group of worshippers without overwhelming them with unnecessary opulence. It is a place of solace and reverence, where the divine presence of Mombiri is felt in every stone and every whisper of the wind. So as you approach, the procession begins to enter the temple. Many of the people just surround the outside, just not able to all fit in. But priests from various faiths, especially those of Mombiri, those of Mombiri are dressed in white, and they align different areas and they gesture for you to stand near an altar adorned with several candles. And Kovai, let me get his stuff. So as you see inside of the chapel here, it's adorned with intricate tapestries depicting scenes of guidance and compassion, symbolizing Wambiri's role as the guide and the reaper of mercy. Soft candlelight flickers through the chapel, casting a warm and tranquil ambiance. At the front of the chapel is an altar adorned with symbols of Wambiri's domains, including a delicate balanced scale representing justice, a guiding light symbolizing guidance, and an open book symbolizing wisdom. Kovai stands up and he begins offering a prayer. And you can see he has dedicated himself to Mombiri in the past before he took on the mantle of, rebellion leader. And he is resuming that role to some degree. And he begins to call on her guidance for mercy to envelop the chapel and provide solace to the mourners. Lady Monburi, beacon of wisdom, we gather here in your sacred space to honor the lives of those who have passed. Guide us with your compassion and mercy as we navigate this time of mourning. And as he concludes that, candles are brought out from the various priests in the room, and they are lit one by one. And he speaks up and he says, with each candle we light, we honor the light that shone within the souls we have lost. May their memories illuminate our hearts and guide them to the eternal embrace of Lady Monburi. And he then gestures for the people to come up, everyone that can, and place their candles on the altar, filling it with innumerable numbers. And it just becomes this beacon here for all to see. And then again, a prayer is offered, asking Monburi to comfort the grieving and help them find peace in the knowledge that their loved ones are in her gentle care. Lady of the Night, calming whisper, wrap your comforting embrace around those who mourn. Grant us the strength to understand the cycle of life and death, knowing that your guidance leads us to a place of eternal rest. And as the ceremonies continue, he gestures towards you, Rainer, to come forward, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed citizens of Latigo, today marks a momentous occasion filled with both sorrow and unexpected joy. As we gather to honor the lives of those we have lost, we are also witnesses to a miraculous event that has unfolded before us. It is with astonishment and hope that I stand before you to introduce Rainer Latigo, our king and liege, who has returned to us in a time of great need, reclaiming his rightful place as king. His presence among us is as surprising as it is momentous, and his words today carry the weight of a newfound responsibility and the promise of a brighter future. Let us welcome Rainer, King Rainer, as he addresses us, for his journey mirrors our own, and together we embark on a path of restoration and resilience. Then a quiet calm rests upon the whole assembly, and you have a moment to say words.
Yes, Rainer. Monsibi was the goddess of war, right? Which one was mm-hmm. the...
Monburi's death.
Monburi's death.
Mishingu was the
god. Mishingu,
that's who it is. Okay. Okay. So Rayna stands up. He'd been thinking, obviously, through a lot of this stuff, a lot of what was going on in the last several hours on how he would address the people. Just kind of looks out over the crowds, and it is finally kind of starting to hit him, and his mouth kind of like stutters open a little bit before he closes his eyes, looks down for a second, straightens his back, and just kind of stands up and opens them and says, today is but a day in 10 long years of struggles that this city has seen. Today we honor not only those who have fallen for today's freedom, but those who have fought and prepared the way for this over the many, many long years that you have struggled. May Monburi guide their souls to the afterlife. Unfortunately, this may not be the end of our suffering, but a beginning to bring freedom to all of Southern T'Challa. There is corruption within the church in Jamati, and until that is cleansed, we will never truly be free from this potential tyranny. May Uvamar guide us in the knowledge we need going forth. May Mishingu bless our swords as we battle the evils of this land. And may the souls of all those that have died before us give us strength as we go forward and ensure that they did not die for nothing. I want freedom for you, but it also brings me a desire to give freedom for the rest of this country. My family was all about that. Many of the indigenous herd were ones that the church deemed unworthy of life. And their numbers continued to grow because my family, instead of killing them off as was ordered, we would secretly hide them away, secretly give them another chance. And those here of Latigo should give great thanks because after many long years, it was also in part their help that is now giving us another chance to have a life. The life that we want, the life to worship as we would like to worship. There are many trials ahead, but I swear on my life that I will not stop pushing forward until my last breath. And so with this, we honor those who have fallen and those who may fall for the freedom of all of us. And I... That's
okay.
I kind of like go silent for a second. I'm not sure what to say after that, and I look back at Asar, kind of get to see if I can get like her approval. It's like, so
just the nod of like, yeah.
So as you look back and see Asar's approval, and then look in front of you, you see that there is not a dry eye in the room, as your words ring with power and confidence and with authority that not just vengeance will be had for the suffering of Latigo, but justice and mercy will be shown to the rest of the Delta region of Southern T'Challa. And with the ending of that, Kovai steps forward once more and gives a gentle bow. And then he says, in a concluding prayer, may the gentle guidance of Lady Mwanbiri lead our departed loved ones to their rightful place in the afterlife. May they find peace, joy, and eternal rest in her compassionate embrace. And with that, the funeral ends, and people stay, mingle for a bit, but eventually the chapel begins to vacate, and the people in the areas depart. As they leave, you know, bread and grain is given on the way back into the main city, it's just a place, an area of solemn hope. And as you leave, you see the bodies of those lined along the street there being burned. just for the sake of not having an easy way to bury so many. The pyres that are lining the street, everyone passes through, remembering their sacrifice, and the flames a reminder of the pain and suffering that this city has gone through over the past 10 years.
As the last person kind of like exits, Reyna kind of just collapses into the chair behind him. I don't think I've ever done something so exhausting in my entire life. Is it always like this?
You did very well. This one was not too bad.
Okay.
I pass a bottle of wine over to you.
Thank you. I need it. Like, I'm, like, kind of shaking, just, like, after I, like, kind of, like, coming down from, like, what is it, the adrenaline of it all. And I'm just, like, holding myself, like, throughout all of that as postured and stable as possible, and the moment I get to relax, it's just like, oh my gods.
Asar, you know, rubs your shoulder, gives you a quick kiss. I love you. I will be back. And she goes out and she follows sort of the procession of the people leaving, and she'll spend the next couple hours giving out grain and bread and just talking with the different people lining the streets, you know, stopping by the different funeral pyres, talking with the different people, seeing who these people were to them, etc.
Cool. So as everything ends, a group of elves approaches you, Raynor, and they're led by how tall would you say your character is?
5'9".
Led by a fairly tall elf.
It's not very tall.
For elves, it's very tall. Go ahead and describe your character, Will.
He is an Eladrin elf that is very tall for elf, obviously. A little bit on the scrawny side, kind of wearing darkish clothing, holds himself with a high posture, very regal clothing of sorts, definitely comes from a line of nobility, kind of carries himself with that not necessarily pompous demeanor, but one that walks with authority. Kind of grain hair that kind of runs long and down off his shoulders, kind of like a mullet of sorts, but he's got a chiseled pointed beard that's grain as well, shifting from a dark black hair to kind of like a whitish gray.
Yeah. Sounds good. An elf with a beard.
Yes.
I like it.
A pointy beard.
Got some dwarf blood in him.
Who's he descended from? But he's tall.
He's not an elf. He's a hag.
Don't give away all my stuff.
He's a hag elf. Half elf hag.
That was a little stretch.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
It was
not your best.
Not my best work.
But he approaches and introduces himself. He's got four elves kinda behind him. And go ahead and introduce yourself, Will, to Raynor.
King Raynor. Your speech was very elegant and I appreciated your words. I am Captain Kuduk. I am here at your request, and I will be assisting you in any capacity going forward.
Reyna takes a breath of kind of stabilization and stands up to meet him. Captain, I, as a follower of Shumakali, I gladly accept your help. I think that it would be an honor to have you come with us. It might also please Shumakali to see one of his own as well, be involved in our next task. As difficult as it may be, and I think it would be, you know, good for all of us to take as much help as we can.
So I'm going to pause you there real quick. So you didn't just come with the purpose of introducing yourself. You and your elves found something that seemed urgent to report. Looked to be some sort of magical device for the purpose of teleportation. And not all of your people can read the writings in there. And they came to deliver that message to Rainer.
I come to you at this time. I didn't want to interrupt on the processions of this funeral. My troops have found a teleportation circle and some writings that we believe are related to it. It is beyond our words, and it seems like it carries ill intent. It just, the feeling of this area does not feel right. Well, I bring these writings to you, hoping that you might be able to translate what they are, or perhaps someone in your circle of compatriots might be able to ascertain what they mean.
And with that, the writings that you see, just very briefly, talk of a planned coup in the Chandelier City. With the simple note of V at the end. And with that, we're going to end the session there. Pick up with what happens next time. Thanks for listening.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are you on the road? Been run out of town again? Well, Rollfair can keep you company while you drive. Our episodes are 30 to 60 minutes. Tell us how we are doing on social media or Spotify. Thanks for bearing with us.
Rawr.